My next guest needs even little introduction to you. Great friend of ours, old friend of ours. Check out thecrowhouse.com. He's a terrific artist, an activist, a humanitarian, a champion of human rights wherever human rights are being abused around the world. We'll talk about the fullcircleproject.net maybe briefly. We've talked about it before, but get on to the fullcircleproject.net because that's a solution to the madness, to the lunatic asylum that we've spent much of this program talking about. Let's welcome back to the show our great friend from Brisbane, Australia, early in the morning there, the great Max Egan. Welcome back, Max.
Pleasure to be on, Richie. Thanks for asking me on again, brother.
Not at all, mate. Listen, I was gutted. I sent you a Skype message a couple of weeks back when we found out, and I know you were inundated with them, and you've got so many friends around the world, but you were talking in Byron Bay towards the end of October, giving a speech about Palestinian rights and what's going on in Gaza, and some cowardly bastard came up behind you and assaulted you. And it wasn't nice, mate. I know you're on the mend. What happened, and how are you doing now?
Oh, look, I'm doing okay. You know, it's pretty painful. Cracked ribs are pretty painful, and my shoulder's still pretty sore. I mean, I'm okay until I move the wrong way. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks now, so you sort of slowly recover, but it takes a long time for bones to heal. But yeah, it was pretty freaky. I mean, just to be jumped from behind. And there's like only really one little dark spot in the area where he could have done it. And, you know, he was obviously waiting there for me to walk through and got me from behind and sort of stalked me and hunted me down, really. I mean, it's a pretty freaky thing. And, you get someone sort of jump you in the dark from behind. It's sort of 9:30 at night. You've just had dinner. You're relaxing, walking back to your car. And someone jumps you and bashes you in the back of the head. It's pretty freaky, you know, and I don't know whether he stomped on my shoulder or bashed it or whatever. I don't know, but I've got a really, really sore shoulder. I took a few blows to the shoulder and a few to the ribs, and it's pretty scary. I thought I was a goner for a minute.
It would scare anybody, Max. It would scare anybody.
I'm kind of fortunate that it was in Burleigh Heads at 9:30 on a Saturday night, and there was only one little dark area where he could have got me, and I think he just sort of did it really quickly and left before anybody came along, you know, so... I'm kind of fortunate that it was in a reasonably public area, I suppose. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Could have been worse, mate. Can I ask you this?
I'm recovering okay, mate. It's all good. This is what happens, I guess. It just means I'm hitting the right nerves, I suppose.
Well, of course, absolutely right. You're upsetting somebody. When I say you're upsetting somebody, you're kind of roiling the establishment when they do that. I don't want to dwell on this at all. We'll move straight on from it. But any idea who it was? Has anybody got any idea? Has anybody given any information to the police about this guy?
Well, look, it was from behind. I couldn't give you a description of what he looked like. Yeah. He was big. I caught a kind of a glimpse of a big guy as I was going down. I mean, it was so quickly, Rich. It was over in a matter of seconds, you know. So, I mean, I'm not used to that sort of a thing. And, you know, I don't sort of get in fights or things like that. So... it was over really quickly. I just know he was a big guy. He was all dressed in black. He had a beanie on. That's about all I can tell you. So there's not much to go on. But yeah, there was a strong Israeli lobby at the talk. Apparently people flew from Israel specifically to come to the summit. So that sort of says, that speaks volumes, you know.
Yeah, it certainly does. Yeah.
I'd say that's where it came from. I mean, most of Byron Bay is Israeli owned. So I'd say that's where it came from.
Well, look, glad that you're okay and you move on and you continue to do what you're doing, Max. Thanks very much, folks. Check out thecrowhouse.com and thefullcirclproject.net. Needless to say, when we announced you were coming on today, we received several dozen messages from well-wishers basically saying they hope you're well and they're delighted that you're okay and that they, you know, look forward to hearing from you onwards and upwards, as the saying goes. So I won't read out all of those individually, but they're all they're genuine. You can see them on Twitter tonight. It's 9:15. Max, great to have you on. What are your initial thoughts? What were your initial thoughts last... God, it would have been, when all this began, it would have been in the small hours of, not the small hours, but kind of breakfast time Saturday morning over there in Brisbane. What were you thinking when you heard what was unfolding in Paris?
Oh, well, I just thought, well, here it is. It's on. I kind of thought this was going to happen. I've said on a few shows recently, once they get all the migrants in there and they get this destabilization happening, they'll stage a couple of terror attacks and then they'll close the borders and they'll escalate the war in the Middle East. And really, when you look at it, Paris is the perfect choice to do it. I mean, Paris is everybody's favorite city if you really want to rally the world against Islam, what city could you attack to affect everybody and get everybody in as quickly as possible? Well, it's Paris. Everybody loves Paris. The Eiffel Tower, city of romance. But whatever you think about it, you couldn't really bomb London. You couldn't really bomb Berlin. Or you couldn't, but Paris, Paris is the, it's an icon. It's a world icon. And it brings it home to everybody that these terrorists can attack us anywhere. And the response was so quick and so predictable. And this is so staged. This is such a setup. And, you know, and what France has done as well by declaring war on ISIS. I mean, this is very significant that France has declared war. You know, they haven't just said, oh, we're going to go and retaliate. They've declared war. They've said, we are at war with ISIS. And so they're bombing Syria, which isn't ISIS. It's Syria. You know, I mean, the people in Syria are attacking, are fighting ISIS as well. And so they're going and bombing a sovereign country under the pretext of attacking ISIS. But the significance of saying that France is now at war with ISIS is that people think about this. France is part of the EU. And the Lisbon Treaty says that if France is at war, then all of the other members of the EU have to jump in and support France. So this effectively puts all of Europe at war with ISIS if they really want to play it that way. You know, so we've really got to look at how this is being rolled out and how this is being played. And like the war on terror is fake. There is no war on terror. There's a war of terror, and the war of terror is being fought on two fronts. Basically, it's being fought the battleground, the actual battleground where all the death and carnage is taking place is within the boundaries of Greater Israel. So it's a war for Greater Israel on the ground. And the second front that the war is being waged is the war that our governments, all Western governments, are waging against the people of their nations and the removal of the rights of the people under the pretext of keeping them safe from the very terrorist organization they are running in the Middle East, which is openly a war for Greater Israel. That's all that's happening in the Middle East. It's not about keeping any country safe. It's about destabilizing everybody and rolling out Greater Israel. And look at this. I mean, look at the terrain. Look at where ISIS is rampaging right across Syria. There's a pipeline that runs from Iraq down to Israel, straight through Syria. How come ISIS haven't blown up Israel's pipeline? You know, I mean, the Jews, Israel's supposed to be the big enemy of Islam, isn't it? And here we have Islamic State attacking only Muslim countries and leaving Israel well alone. You know, people need to wake up and smell the coffee, Richie. This is a setup. And I'd expect there to be probably another attack in Paris soon. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they stage another one.
It was a big evening tonight in Europe for international soccer. And as you probably know by now, the Germany-Netherlands soccer match was postponed in Hanover because the stadium was evacuated because of a concrete threat. Now, I don't know what the latest on that is, but they said it was a concrete threat. And Spain were supposed to play Belgium, I believe, and that game was called off as well. The Wembley Stadium in London, one of the most iconic stadiums in the world of sport, coloured out in the tricolour, the French national colours, and English people being urged today to learn La Marseillaise to sing along in solidarity with France. I just get the impression that, and I'm saying things that I wouldn't have imagined I would have ever said some years ago, is that there's a massive mind control, not an experiment, but a program going on right now. And at the same time, and I've got to ask you this, I asked our previous guest this, while all this is happening, David Cameron had the gall today to say something which I think maybe at one time in history would have resulted in his resignation. He basically said that anybody who disagrees with the government is possibly sowing the seeds of extremism and have to be dealt with. His exact words were, we need to go after those who sow the seeds of extremism but whom stop short of promoting violence. Now, what in the name of Jesus Christ does that mean? Who sow the seeds of extremism but they stop short of promoting violence? I don't promote violence. You, Max Egan, you don't promote violence ever. But we tell people when we can that there's a different narrative, that there's a different explanation for the events. Now, that explanation, of course, challenges the paradigm and it challenges the government. So basically, David Cameron is talking about the Max Egans who operate within the British Isles, the David Icke's who operate within the British Isles. It's an incredible thing for a Prime Minister to say, Max.
Well, it is, and really it's an extremist statement, because what he's basically saying is that anybody who criticises me is an extremist, and that's an extremist mentality to have. So basically David Cameron should be arrested under his new legislation, yeah, because he's an extremist, obviously, for creating this type of legislation indicates he's an extremist. David Cameron is a war criminal. He's a out-and-out war criminal. Let's call it for what it is. And I've been calling this out for a while, Richie. Israel is carrying out war crimes. This is not a debatable point. The fact that Gaza Strip exists is a war crime. It's collective punishment. It's a breach of Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. Therefore, David Cameron, by supporting the rogue state of Israel and supporting this war crime, is a war criminal himself. David Cameron, if you're listening to this, you're a freaking war criminal, mate. You're a war criminal because you're supporting war crimes, and you should be taken to The Hague, and you should be held accountable for your actions. You should be hung. You should be hung just for going and bombing these innocent people in Syria and conducting these fake wars of terror all around the world. You're an idiot, you're a warmonger, and you're a terrorist yourself, and you should be taken and held accountable for your actions. These bloody war criminals that run this planet, Richie, I'm sick to death of it. And Gaza Strip is an open invitation for everybody to stand up and call this out for what it is. This is a human rights abuse of massive proportions. The average age in Gaza is 17 years old, held in collective punishment by a rogue state that's been supported by thousands of politicians all around the world. If we want to support these politicians, then we're supporting war crimes. And if you want to fix the problems in your country, you want to fix the coal seam gas mining, you want to fix the austerity measures, the smart cards, the smart grid, the smart meters, the all of the stuff that they're doing, all of these politicians that are writing the legislation, which is allowing this environmental destruction to happen, are all supporting this war crime. So therefore, every single one of them can be arrested. You know, people need to contact their government and say, please, I'm in a dilemma. I'm in a legal and moral dilemma because I cannot morally or legally support a government that is supporting war crimes. Because you are supporting Israel, you're in breach of Article 33. Please explain to me how I have to support you in any way, and why you should not be arrested and taken and held accountable for your actions. We need the entire country, we need the entire world to stand up and start calling this out. The war on terror is a fake war, a war for greater Israel, and they're removing all of our rights in the process, and now they're calling us extremists because we want to be free. David Cameron needs to, oh, mate, that guy, I'd like to meet him. I would like to meet him, and I'd like to spit in his face. I honestly would.
He's a sick bastard, Max. He's a sick bastard. When you hear people like Natalie Rowe, who was on this program a couple of weeks back. Natalie is a former dominatrix, and she used to hang around with George Osborne. Everybody knows this to be true. Osborne a couple of years ago denied it, and then Natalie produced photographic evidence that she knew him. These bastards, I mean, I'm not one for making grand statements, and neither is Max Egan. Max Egan doesn't grandstand, by the way. He doesn't say things to get an emotional response. Well, he does, but he's not, you know, he's not playing politics here. He's not giving you soundbites. He means what he says. Think about it for a second. George Osborne, your Chancellor of the Exchequer, who was telling lies like Pinocchio today, saying that ISIS wants to get into cyber terrorism. You know, more lies without any evidence. So while Osborne is saying that, picture this. When Osborne was a young man, he used to stick baby pigeons up the bums of his friends at the school that he went to, the Ivy League schools that he went to in London. The baby pigeon would die, but it would cut the inside of the rectum of the guy who they did it to for a laugh. This is the fucking bastard we're talking about. And not only him, but the guy who stands above him was the guy who was sticking his penis into the mouth of a dead pig. That's the sort of scum you have running you today. That's the sort of scum that can go on television and say that if you disagree with us, you're the enemy. You're just as bad because you might think you're harmless, Max Egan. I tell you what, Max Egan, you might think you're harmless, but what you're actually doing without realising it is you're stirring up these extremists. So that's your fault, Max, even though you don't realise it, so we can come after you. A guy who sticks baby pigeons up people's bums, Max. Telling us.
Exactly.
Fuck that.
Exactly. I mean, what can you say about these people, mate? These warmongering terrorists that are running our governments, we need to do something about it. And we've got to call it out. We've got to call this fake war on terror out for what it is and call these people out for what they are. They're all bloody war criminals. They're all war criminals, a lot of them. You know, have a look at this planet. And we've got to do something about this. We can't allow this to erupt the way it is. And it's just, the mind control is incredible. You know, the way people are just jumping on the bandwagon, everyone's putting on French colours. What about all the people who died in Beirut the day before, didn't even make the newspapers? It's killed by the same ISIS terrorists, you know. And they're saying ISIS wants to get into cyber terrorism. Yeah, well, they probably do. But what people don't understand is that ISIS is our governments. ISIS is run by our governments. It's us. We are ISIS. You know, and the people of the West are supporting it by not calling their governments out on this whole thing. I mean, it's proven they're being funded by the West. They're driving around in fleets of Toyotas. They've got 30 Abrams tanks, for God's sake. How does a terrorist organization get a hold of 30 US tanks? driving US Humvees, getting weapons drops in the United States, all using AR-15s and you know, M16 weaponry and howitzers and tanks, and now they're getting air support. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. This is a proxy war that's being fought by the West. There is no Islamic extremists that are doing all of this. These guys are as Islamic as Mickey Mouse. They're not doing anything at all like Islamic extremists. I mean, and look at this whole Paris attack. There's none of the normal stuff. Where's the ISIS flags? Where's the cries of Allah Akbar, you know? They yell out, this is for Syria, and then they drop a Syrian passport. So whoever did it, the party or parties, is someone who wants the West to attack Syria. They want to escalate the war in the Middle East. This is so blatantly obvious.
Do you know what what's even more sickening than that, Max? So there's guys like you out there doing what you've been doing for years and years without asking for anything, without looking for fame or notoriety or fortune, whatever. You just go out and do it. Tell you what pisses me off. People have no excuse not to be informed, because every now and then, and in fact it's a daily occurrence, somebody within the system will tell the truth. And I pointed out on Sunday, is that last October, is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, one of the most senior military men in America. He told Lindsey Graham in a congressional hearing last October that he knows plenty of friendly Arab states who are funding and keeping ISIS going. What pisses me off, Max, is that gets out there for about a half an hour. And then we pick up on it in the independent media and we talk about it. But obviously then it's not repeated again in the mainstream media. But it was out there for a time. You see, this is what pisses me off about the apathetic guy who, you know, he's doing all right. His job is bringing in, you know, just enough money. He's just about ticking over. And he's doing all right. Just leave me alone. I don't want to hear about this, Max Egan. Leave me alone. I'm just getting by. You idiot. It's out there for you. They will tell you themselves, these guys. When you've got a chairman of the Joint Chiefs saying, listen, all of our great friends in the Gulf, they've been, you know, funding ISIS. Jesus Christ, Max. What more do people need?
I know. I mean, Putin even said that there's 40 countries that are funding ISIS.
40,
I mean,
that's right.
They're receiving medical attention in the Golan Heights paid for by Israel. Okay, this is documented. This is proven. You know, they're actually treating them. If they get hurt, they go to the Golan Heights and Israel fixes them back up and sends them back out into the field. I mean, this is so obvious. It's proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that this has all been funded by the West. There are no moderate rebels. I mean, the West has this whole concept of different levels of terrorists. We have the moderate terrorists, the friendly terrorists, and the evil terrorists. I mean, what is this, you know? You start pouring money and weapons in there and you end up with what you've got. But what they've got there is what we want. That's what they wanted there. They wanted to destabilize the whole place. And all of the stuff when they're saying, oh, ISIS this and ISIS that, they're talking about themselves. When they say ISIS are planning more attacks, they're telling you that they are planning more attacks. They're just going to use their proxies, ISIS. This is what it's all about. And they can't even think of the right name for them. What are they, ISIS this week? Is it ISIS? Is it Islamic
ISIL,
State?
Daesh,
you know, people in Iran and stuff call them Daesh because they're not Islamic State. They're not Islamic in any way. They're Daesh. They're just these rebel, you know, morons, you know, psychopaths, you know, so they just call them Daesh because that's what they are. They're not Islamic in any way, shape or form. But, you know, it's gotten to such a mess. And Europe, I mean, with the refugee crisis in Europe, Richie, it's like Europe's about to burn, you know, but this has all been so predictable.
Hey, Max, can I briefly interrupt you and ask you a question? Because you just mentioned Europe. My previous guest tonight was Garrod O'Culmón. Garrod was on RT over the weekend. He's kind of gotten really well known very quickly because of statements that he made on RT about what's really going on in France. Garrod said to me tonight that the United States are funding, covertly, these refugee asylum boats, these dangerous boats that are killing helpless refugees as they're fleeing Syria and North Africa and Libya. And he said that the United States are covertly making sure that those people get into Europe. Now, that wouldn't surprise me, but I hadn't seen any evidence. And the phone line with him wasn't good enough for me to really challenge him about it. But I said we'd look into it. Have you heard anything like that, that they're doing that?
Look, I haven't heard it, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, the CIA is famous for this sort of stuff. So is Mossad. I mean, and you look at the Kalergi plan, and you look at all the plans that they've had for Europe. You look at the things that they've said. You know, there was a woman who said recently, a few years ago, said that the people in Europe living in their opulent houses and all this is going to change. It's not going to be like that. Europe has to become multicultural, and it's not, people aren't going to be living at the lives, you know, the style of life that they have now. And we will be behind this. You know, the Jewish people will be behind this because it needs to be done for Israel and all this sort of stuff. So, I haven't heard, I couldn't give you any information to back up what he said, but it absolutely would not surprise me at all.
No, I mean, not at all. No.
It's being orchestrated, mate.
Let me just then read out a few tweets. Who is buying the oil from ISIS? Number of people asking that question. It's a terrific question. We hear about ISIS, how well they're doing. As well as, I mean, ISIS are the greatest multitaskers that ever lived, if you believe the bullshit from the mainstream media. As well as writing books on how to rape women, as well as building villages and, you know, setting up English-speaking schools for their converts from England, as well as fighting multiple wars against the Syrian army in various cities. They're also selling and trading in oil. They're also fighting in Europe. I mean, fuck off. I'm sorry. I swore I wouldn't use the word fuck on the program. I would retain some sort of professionalism, but I couldn't give a fucking damn. How can they expect people to believe that? Karen Kelly, agreed, the war on terror, this doesn't bear thinking about. People really don't know what's going on. Too busy watching television. I want to say hi to Jack B. Quick on Twitter. How are you, Jack? Gary was on to say, does Max think we're in the endgame, so to speak, due to the elite knowing that they've been completely outed? I guess Gary is alluding to what Cameron said today, you know, that if you're not with us, you're against this kind of a thing. Anne was on to say, people get into an altered state and the hypnosis sets in. Number of listeners on Twitter backing Max's claim is that Putin said ISIL was financed by 40 countries. That's absolutely right, including G20 member states, which is what he said, 100%. Martin Oakes was on to say, war crimes? It's worse than that. The people who run the world are compromised. Pigs, drugs, pigeons, and much worse. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true why they're sticking pigeons up people's arses. Because they compromise them, because the guys are being filmed and they're doing it to them. Years later, you're going to vote this way. I'm not, you fucking well are, mate. Have a look at this video, eh? Mike McCusker was on to say, you are either actively against us or you are actively with them. By default, there is no more fence sitting, says Mike. Angela was on to say, it's a test, or if it is a test, it's one of morals. What do the Saudis use to trade their oil with? Deals with the devils, blood for oil, asks Angela. Hi to Paul Jackson, who agrees with some of the comments we made. And Scott says this, and then I'll shut up and bring Max back in. Scott says, remember last year in the United States, FEMA getting 2,700 armored vehicles. That's the Federal Emergency Management Agency, in case people don't know. Maybe they were for ISIS, says Scott. Just the thought. Scott, those 2,500 armored vehicles bought in America for FEMA weren't for ISIS, mate. They were for people like you. It's as simple as that. People like you for holding opinions like that. Carl Ingham was on to say, this hour of the show should be YouTubed and go viral. Thanks, Carl. And Wayne was on to say, it takes courage and humility to challenge the status quo, and most people lack that quality. Do they, Max? Do most people lack courage and humility? I would hate to think so. What do you think?
Look, I think most people are cowed into a state of fear. They're really scared of what will happen. They're really scared of the repercussions of speaking out. That's the problem, you know. But we have to speak out. I mean, it is an end game. The governments are running scared. They are. The wheels are falling off the system. They're being exposed on all fronts. I mean, you had Russia go in there and wipe out ISIS in a week. That they haven't been able to do it in 3 years, you know, you know, and now they've, because ISIS, I mean, Russia's gone in there and they've wiped out their pet army. They've got to rally the world to go in and protect their pet army, which is what this is all about. I mean, France is going in there bombing targets in Syria. These are probably residential targets. These aren't, you know, they say, oh, we've got all these targets of value and all these. How did you get all this? You've been bombing the place for 3 years. You haven't hit anything of significance yet. So now you've got all these key targets that you can give the French people. You know, what sort of targets are they? You're probably giving them schoolrooms and hospitals. I mean, God knows what you're giving them. Probably giving them crop fields or toilet blocks. I mean, God knows what they're bombing. They're just randomly bombing anywhere, you know. But the wheels are falling off the system, and the government is running scared because the people have had enough, and the people are beginning to see through it. You know, I mean, even the amount of people that can see through the Paris attacks, you know. I mean, how can you have your passport being found at every one of these events, and they're always having a terror drill which matches exactly the event? I mean, come on, folks. You know, just come on, wake up and smell this. This is ridiculous. It's you know, this is not way even beyond coincidence theory, you know.
Hard not to get angry, Max. When you say that, it's very hard not to get angry with people. With people, I mean. You know, when I mean, I've got friends who say, ah, come on, Richie, you're nitpicking. And just for a brief second, a thought crosses my mind to punch him in the face. Just for a flash of a second. Nitpicking. Are you out of your mind, nitpicking?
That's what they want you to do, mate. Divide and conquer. That doesn't help, you know. But I know you get incredibly frustrating, banging your head on the wall, and even with people arguing over all the details. You know, there's people saying, "Oh, look, there were no bodies. It was faked. It was this. It was that." I mean, maybe it was. Maybe they used crisis actors. Maybe they staged half of it. I don't know. But what's relevant is what they're doing. What the event is being used for, and it's being used to remove you of all your rights if you don't call this out for what it is, you know. And we can figure it out later. It's hard to make the call there were no bodies, and it's hard to make the call there were actors and that, because I'm in Australia. I mean, maybe there's people that have got better information on that, but I can't make the call from photographs that I see online. I need to be there. I need to have more information. But these sorts of things are details anyway. We've got a serious situation here.
Yeah.
We've just had a whole bunch of people killed or pretended to be killed or whatever. We've had this whole event set up in order to push out this whole world further and deeper into war. That's what's going on. And we have to call this out. We really do. We've got to stop these war criminals and warmongers running this planet. And when I say, look, war crimes, yeah, it is way beyond war crimes, but the fact that it is war crimes, and the fact that Gaza Strip exists, and the fact that Geneva Convention exists, well, if their paper's real, if David Cameron is going to write stuff and say that people like you and I are terrorists, well, what makes that legislation valid? What makes anything he writes on paper valid if it can be shown that he's a war criminal? And if he's in breach of Article 33 or supporting a country that is in breach of Article 33, then he is a war criminal. And if anything that they've written on paper is real, well, here's a piece of paper called the Fourth Geneva Convention that says you're all full of shit and you need to be in jail and that everything you've written is invalid. Yeah. So let's deal with that. And then we'll deal with the paper that you wrote post that, because this piece of paper is more important than anything that come after, because this piece of paper declares you a criminal, which makes all your stuff invalid. So let's talk about that. You know, that's the attitude we've got to have, Richie. We've got to call this out. I mean, the legal system's a joke. It's a farce anyway. But at the moment, it's something we can use. It's a double-edged sword, because people believe legal stuff is real. They believe the law is real. They want to have some sort of faith in the legal system, the judicial system. They want to have some sort of faith in international law, even though the joke and the farce we've seen from the UN, which breaks every law under the book. But if we stand up and call it, we can take the whole UN, we can take all the banking cartels and all these corporations out of business in one fell swoop by calling them out for supporting a breach of Article 33. We can do it if the people would stand up and step into their humanity to do it. And that's all you got to do. Put down the concept of whether Gaza is a battle between Jews and Palestinians or Israelis and Muslims or whatever. It's children in prison. It's children held in collective punishment. And if we can be human about it and open our hearts, we can heal the entire planet. Gaza Strip is giving us an opportunity to do it, and I think we should seize the opportunity. I really do.
Brilliant. It's 21 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to take a 90-second break. When we come back, we'll have more from Max. Do go to thefullcircleproject.net. This is serious, people, because there's nothing greater than finding like-minded people who are also interested in what we're interested in, which is holding these people to account, making them accountable, and it's working. You know, small steps, it's baby steps. But listen, the oldest cliche in the world is one of the most poignant and one of the most pertinent now. And that is, the longest journey or the greatest journey begins with a single step. The Full Circle Project.net. Max, thanks. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. Very quick break. Back with Max Egan and more of your tweets in 90 seconds.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
40,000 listeners verifiable every Monday to Thursday. At least 2,500 podcast downloads every day. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Why the numbers? Are you bragging? No, I'm not bragging. The program is reaching more listeners than any other independent news program in the United Kingdom and beyond. That's a fact. And it's doing that with your help. It only exists because of your help. So do go to richieallen.co.uk if you can subscribe to the program on PayPal or on the bank account details there. Do so. please do so if you can. If you don't, do not feel one bit bad about it. You can be of great help to me as well by making sure that when you see the podcast and when you see the YouTube videos with Max Egan and David Icke and others, share them with people so that people can see them. But either way, I'm glad that you're involved. Aaron Callan, my great friend who runs the Richie Allen website, richieallen.co.uk, was on to say, the Western governments are not lying when they say that ISIS hates our freedoms. The Western governments are ISIS, as Max said, and the Western governments definitely hate our freedoms. 100% right, Aaron. Couldn't fault that. And Martin in Ireland. Let's, Max, I'll be as quick as I can with these. I know you're bursting to get back in there. Martin in Ireland said something really interesting a short time ago. Let me just bring that down. Where is it? This was interesting too. And it was about the tricolour on Facebook. The Facebook French flag picture offered by Facebook is another tracking tool experimentation. It essentially logs your political alignments and viewpoints. Martin, that is one of the smartest things said on this program tonight. You are 100% right. And people get suckered into it. Oh, Facebook says put up the French flag. You do it. Bang. You're being categorized. That's 100% right. Max, you'd have to agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a program. We've been told that we need to identify with this and it's about all of us and it's an attack against all of us and we all need to support the action that's being done to, retaliate against this. It's all about revenge all the time, isn't it, Richie? Oh my God, they bombed us. So we're going to go and bomb them. And it wasn't even the people in Syria who bombed them. It was someone who came to their country. And so what are they doing? They're going to another sovereign nation and they're carpet bombing another sovereign nation of all these innocent people who didn't have anything to do with it at all. It's just insane, mate. It's insane. Absolutely insane. And people are just whipped up into supporting it. You got it here. We got the Sydney Opera House lit up in French flag colors. It's everywhere, right around the planet. Everything's got French flag colors on it. It's absurd. It's such a program. And all it is a big push for more war and more death and more bloodshed and more chaos and strife in the Middle East and more chaos and strife in Europe.
It's mental. Sean was on to say that ISIS have been able to produce an annual report of expenditure. This is ISIS Corporation. Yeah, this is amazing. Now, I've seen this on the internet. I can't verify its authenticity, but Sean's a good guy, listens to the program, regularly sends me interesting stuff. Thanks, Sean. I mean, what they expect us to believe is ludicrous. I want to say to Matthew Sorley. How are you doing, Matthew? Richie, I think the scariest aspect of it all for me is how the media are fostering a mob mentality in people and people don't even realise it. That's a really smart point that. That's a longer email, but thanks, Matthew, for that. Ailco, who's in Holland, says, can you ask Max, why do so many people keep talking about unintended consequences of US policy? This is true. We often lament that on this program. No matter how many times they keep doing the same thing, well, we've got to get rid of the despotic dictator there, then they go in, destroy a whole country, then they retreat and go, oh, well, we didn't quite get it right. That was unintended, while the country's completely ruined, like Libya, for example. And I think what Ailco is asking, how long will people who are not woken up to it, our friends and neighbours, how long will they put up with that bullshit of just accepting that it was unintended consequences? When, as you've said, Max, for many years, it's bloody not only is it intended consequences, it was the intended result all along.
Well, it was. That's the thing. I mean, they look at Iran and Libya and they say these were unsuccessful wars. No, they weren't. They're successful. That's exactly what they wanted to do with the area, you know. And what's ISIS are putting out a statistics report? I mean, for God's sake, there's going to be ISIS magazine out soon.
T-shirts.
You know, we have the ISIS university we can all join. We can buy shares in some ISIS company. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you did something wrong, the first thing they do, Richie, is they'd freeze your assets and freeze your finances and your bank accounts. So you had no access. Why haven't they done this to ISIS? Why haven't they frozen all their assets? How is ISIS allowed to sell oil to Western allies? How are they able to have all these websites, which are all based on US servers and stuff? I mean, how is this able to happen? It's, people got to see this. This is such a play. It's such a play. People have been scammed so much with this. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up, honestly. I mean, it's so in their faces. All I can think is it's the fluoride. It's the fluoride. They just can't think clearly. I don't know what it is, but they just can't, see it. You have these terror attacks. Every time there's a passport, every time there's a drill, every time it's the same scenario. It's the same thing with the same result, and it's a further push for war. And every time this fake war on terror is flagging at all in any way, we have another big major terrorist attack in a Western nation to rally the world to escalate the conflict. I mean, can't people see this for what it is? Now, we could stop all this war in a day by just calling this out and calling our politicians out and realizing that this war on terror is a proxy war for greater Israel. That's what it is, and it's locking all of us down at the same time. That's the two fronts the war's being fought on, folks. It's been fought in the Middle East to establish the land of greater Israel, and it's been fought in Western countries to lock us all down into a police state and make us good little chattels and do what we're told. And the place is being run by these pedophiles and pig fuckers that run these countries. This is ridiculous. We've got to start calling this out, folks. These people like David Cameron and Malcolm Turdfull here in this country, who's an open Zionist, who's sworn allegiance to Israel, so he's got an allegiance to a foreign power. He's bombing Syria, managed to become a war criminal within 24 hours of becoming an unelected prime minister, and we don't call it. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? You know, we are responsible if we do not stand up and start speaking the truth and put down your fear, folks. You're going to die anyway. That's what you came here to do. So make a difference while you're here, and let's make this a better world for our children. Otherwise, we're being led down the garden path, and the future we're allowing to be created is a future that is not going to be worth living in. So we've got to call it, Richie. We've got to call it.
Simple as that. It's 11 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Massive amount of tweets have come in and emails. You know we're not going to get through them all, but thanks anyway for tweeting them. You need only to put in Richie Allen Show, all one word, in the Twitter, in the search Twitter thing, and press enter. You can see what everybody else is saying on the programme. Well, I'd like to Paul Williams, to Tony Allars, and to Carl in Canberra in Australia. Paul Williams says, for the so-called psychos, ISIS will have their own TV channel next. And you know, that's the sort of thing that you just wouldn't put beyond the lunatics who are trying to convince us of, you know, this great fight against, this great ideological fight that they want us to believe in. You wouldn't be surprised if the next thing that comes out is, I mean, I remember reporting on this programme 7 or 8 months ago when the Daily Mail were telling us that ISIS had guys writing handbooks teaching their converts how to rape women effectively, how to do this and how to do that. And I remember thinking, is anybody actually believing that? Are there men, women, taking the tube to work on a Monday morning, reading this Daily Mail story about rape handbooks, and are actually believing it, Max? And then I thought, they're believing it, yeah.
Yeah, they probably are, you know, but we can make a difference, Richie. We still can make a difference. That's what Full Circle Project's about. I've got to mention it. Full Circle Project, folks. And what we're doing with Full Circle Project is a mechanism to be able to link everybody up. If you're in somewhere in the world and you need a support group around you, sign up to the project, do a search in your area, find a group you can get involved in your local area and start an action group. We've got people, we're working on templates like what I was saying about war crimes, Article 33. We're working on a template that you can use to ask the right questions of your government, to tell them you're in a state of moral and legal dilemma. You feel that you cannot support the government while the government is supporting war crimes, and here's the proof that they are. And so can you please advise me where I should go from this point? Because all I can see that I should do is basically take legal action against you. You know, we're creating a template which kind of says this in the right legal terminology that people can use. So it's all going to, we're putting everything we can on this site. It's a resource hub and it's a mechanism of linking everybody up together. So if you've got an anti-fracking group, you know, join up to the project and find all the other anti-fracking groups around the world and link up together and get a mechanism that works so you can all do it together. You know, maintain your own little independent hubs. You've got to, you know, we've got to have these grass fires all around with no leader. But we need to be able to link up and coordinate our response. And that's what this is about. We need a coordinated, full spectrum response to this system of full spectrum dominance that these psychopaths are rolling out. And we never forget that these psychopaths like David Cameron and Malcolm Turdfull and Barack Obama, these are people that we employ to manage our infrastructure in a responsible manner, and they are abusing their office. They are creating wars, they are creating mayhem, and they are removing our rights from us by the power that we give them. And if we don't call them out, then we're creating a future that we don't want to have. And we've got every single mechanism that we need to do it. So please sign up to the project, get involved, and let's take our world back.
Max, it's great having you on, mate. 9 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. I suppose we'll leave it there for now. Glad you're back on your feet, even if you're still a little bit tender around the ribs there. Genuinely sorry that that happened. There are thugs, unfortunately, who turn up to things like this. The wonderful thing about it, though, is that you know that you're bugging somebody and you're, you know, worrying somebody or something or somebody or some group of people when something like that happens. Max is right about the Full Circle Project. There's very little I endorse on the program because I don't give my endorsement to anything cheaply. But the Full Circle Project is brilliant. The Full Circle Project.net, that's the website where you need to go. Max is right. Max, you know, on that, I remember when we were all making programs for TPV in London, I remember David Icke's artist, Neil Haig, who's illustrated several of David's books. I'm pretty sure you've come across Neil over the years, along the journey, as it were. Neil said something. We were in the kitchen one day, we were having a cup of tea, well, he was having a cup of tea, and Neil said, you know what, Richie, if 100,000 people surrounded Westminster Square and said, you know what, we ain't going anywhere, we've had enough of this bullshit, we're staying here, he said that would be it. 100,000. Now, I don't know what percentage 100,000 is of 64 million, but it's big. It's a decent percentage. And I thought he was right, Max.
Well, yeah, you know, if people actually got up and stood up and decided they were going to make a difference and make a stand, a peaceful stand, you know, a legal stand within their law, even if it's fictional, you know, we could make a difference. We really could. You know, we don't need any violence. We don't need any of the stuff that they want us to do. All we need to do is to say, look, we've had enough and we're standing here now. We want change. We're calling you out. Now, you're our employees and we don't care what excuses you put in place. We're calling you out. You know, here's the situation and you'd better do some pretty fast explaining because otherwise we're going to take you somewhere and we're going to hold trials and we're going to hold you accountable for your actions. Even if we have to form our own juries and do it as a grand jury style, because obviously you can't trust anyone in The Hague or the UN. I mean, The Hague would be great. We can use it. It's a courtroom. But the people who run it, they should probably be in there under trial like everybody else, along with the mainstream media. That's something we have to address, mate. It's the mainstream media, these war criminals. We have to really address that as well.
You're spot on. And the proof, just before we say goodbye, is the length of time that Sir John Chilcot has taken to publish the Chilcot inquiry, the report. It's been, they began looking into the events that led up to the Iraq War in 2009. We're at 2015 now, and we keep hearing every few months that, well, it might be in May next year, it might be in April, it might not be. And then we have to have a look at it first, and we might have to redact a lot of it. They're criminals. You know, the people charged with the inquiry are criminals. We saw Theresa May appoint two women to look into child abuse here in Britain. Both of those women were compromised by their relationships with suspects, guys who were suspected to have abused children. Theresa May should have went straight away. She should have resigned and should have been charged with perverting the course of justice, but she wasn't. So in that, you're absolutely right, my friend. Look, it's always great, Max, having you on. Thanks for coming back on. Delighted that you're back on your feet. You have loads of work to do. The Crow House is Max's website, by the way. The address for that is thecrowhouse.com, isn't it, Max? Not net, it's thecrowhouse.com, right.
Thecrowhouse.com.
Yeah, I always think .net, but it isn't. It's the Full Circle Project.net. Have a brilliant day. You're up bright and early. It's Wednesday there. Have a great day. Stay in touch and come back anytime you want.
Oh, it'd be a pleasure to come back on. Richie, always a pleasure to come on. But yeah, do make a difference, folks. Do get out there, make a noise, and do address the media. The propaganda of war they promote is what creates all this. They're as much to blame as anybody. So get out there and make a difference. Sign up to the project and make your voice heard. Now is the time for people to make their voices heard.
Brilliant. Max Egan, thank you very much, my friend. Bye for now.
Bye, Richie.
Terrific. Max Egan on the line to us there from Brisbane. That was emotional, to say the least. Apologies for my fruity language there. I'm not unknown. It's not beyond me to swear occasionally. I don't like doing it. I don't do it for effect. The TV show is a free-for-all, and I get to vent and emote, but it's not the best, it's not the wisest thing in the world to be doing on the radio, but there are times when you get fed up with it. And I mean that. When you're thinking about guys, I can say murder, can't I? Murdering small animals for sexual kicks, for fun, and to compromise other men. And to think that those guys are in a position to legislate over you and those in your community and in your cities, it's hard sometimes not to bite your tongue. It really is. I really don't know what else to say other than that's the only excuse I have. It's 3 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. That's the end of the program.